بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Respected علماء الكرام Beloved friends and elders In the Taraweeh tonight The 23rd juz of Quran was recited And among the surahs that were recited was Surah Yasin Surah Yasin was completed Surah Safat And other surahs were recited In Surah Safat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions إِنَّا زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ الْكَوَاكِبِ Indeed, we have adorned the sky of the world. We have adorned the first sky from the seven skies that Allah created. We have adorned it, we have decorated it with the decoration of the stars. وَحِفْظًا مِّن كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ مَّارِدٍ And these stars, like they serve as a decoration, like they serve as ornaments for the sky, they also serve as a form of protection for the sky. A form of protection from the rebellious shayateen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that when the shaytans go up into the heavens to try and eavesdrop and listen to the discussion of the malaika, what tasks that they have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, malaika discuss this in the heavens, then the shayateen go up to try and eavesdrop and get some kind of idea as to what decisions have been passed for the world, what tasks have been given to the angels. So when they go up to try and listen, لا يسمعون إلى الملأ الأعلى ويقذفون من كل جانب. In this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates That so that they may not eavesdrop to the higher group, meaning to the discussion of the angels. And if they do so, وَيُقْذَفُونَ مِن كُلِّ جَانِبٍ They are pelted from all sides. In other words, sometimes we may notice the falling star or the shooting star. That is actually one purpose of that is to shoot at a shaitan, a devil that has gone up into the heavens to eavesdrop on the discussion of the malaika. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the function of the stars. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith of Musnad Ahmad explains that there is a very strong comparison between the stars and the ulama. إِنَّ مَثَلُ الْعُلَمَاءِ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَثَلِ النُّجُومِ Indeed, the example of the ulama, the scholars, the people of knowledge on earth is like that of the stars. كَمَثَلِ النُّجُومِ يُهْتَدَى بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions another function of the stars. In this ayat of Quran that I recited to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two functions, that they are a beauty for the sky and a protection for the sky. And in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that just as the stars are used for guidance whilst traveling and for direction, Similarly, the ulama are also used for guidance and for direction in one's spiritual life, in one's dini life, in one's path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed our communities and Allah has blessed our country with a very, very rich wealth of ulama. We have a very, very rich wealth of ulama in our country and this is a great virtue of Allah, a great virtue for us. And a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the recent past, we can consider our country as one of the seats of learning in the globe. One of the seats of learning in the world, especially for Muslims living outside the Muslim world. Where alhamdulillah we find that students come from far and wide and study at the feet of your own local ulama. Your own ulama here in this country take that knowledge and go back to their countries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so much, yet we find unfortunately, respected friends and elders, that we have the tendency to follow hype. That when there's some internet sensation, there's some YouTube sensation, some person has become famous on the internet, then all of a sudden he is more valuable than the alim in front of me. The zamana we are living in is a zamana of great fitna, respected friends and elders. Yes, to use the modern means of technology to pass on the message of Islam is definitely very, very useful. But it should be understood like a spare wheel. You will not suffice on that spare wheel, respected friends and elders, only up to the extent that you can get your original wheel back. You can't travel on that biscuit wheel, so to say. So like that, those people who don't have what we have, those who don't have ulama in their masajid, those who don't have reliable scholars in their areas, for them, this is what is there. They can at least take some kind of benefit from this. But the original method of taking benefit is person to person, sitting in the company of an alim, sitting at the feet of an alim. In the famous hadith of Jibreel, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, in Muslim Sharif, famous hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam in the form of a man into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask some questions. So he sent him in the form of a student, someone who wants to benefit, someone who wants to learn about his deen. There's mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salam had come, nobody recognized him obviously as an angel. In fact, even at the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself also didn't recognize him. After he departed, then the Nabi of Allah realized that this was Jibreel alayhi salam. So when he came, firstly he came, there's a lot of mashallah detail mentioned in the riwayah, but the part I want to mention to you is that he came, and he came close and close and very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta jalasa ila Nabi. He sat right in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How close? Not sitting and listening from a receiver at home. Not live streaming, respected friends and elders. I am not saying there's something wrong with that, but understand what is more important for us. What is more important, respected friends and elders? One is for a person to keep that food of his. He wants to keep it warm, so he leaves it in the microwave. The longer he leaves it, the colder he's going to get. He'll heat it up, it'll heat up. But as the time goes along, even if it's in that microwave, it'll lose its heat. And the other is to have it in a normal conventional oven. Have that oven set at a particular degree and particular heat temperature. And then leave the food inside there. It will remain warm all the time as long as it's there. So the effect in these tools of communication, respected friends and elders, listening from afar will have some effect, definitely. I'm not here to belittle that. But that effect will not be as lasting as when you are in the oven itself. Effect will not be as lasting as when you are right there at the feet of someone and benefiting from him. And Allah has given us so much. So Jibreel alayhi salam came, he sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. And he attached his knees to the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So close, touching him. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. He placed his palms on his own thighs. And some narrations explain, first he placed it on the thigh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Direct contact with the alim that is in front of us, the alim that is in our community. If a person finds himself in some far off land where there are no reliable ulama, no reliable scholars that he can go to, then he may use these tools. As for us, respected friends and elders, the males who are able to attend the masjid, who are able to see the imam 5 times a day, who are able to attend the majalis and the gatherings of the pious ulama that we have, then for us there is no excuse for live streaming. Yes, the old, and those who are incapable, those who may be bedridden, then this is there, alhamdulillah, for them. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described in Quran, وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Last night this was recited in the Taraweeh Salah. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Allah mentions different descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one description is, he is a sirajan munira, a lantern that lights up what is around him, and lights up other lanterns. There's a difference. If you are reading, for example, and there's a flashlight on, but you are at some distance, or there's a candle on and you are at some distance, but if you are right there, then you'll feel the heat also. If you are right there, you can light up your candle as well. And that one candle, that one lantern can light up thousands of other candles. This is the opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. For us to sit and ponder, respected friends and elders. The great wealth of ulama that Allah has given us, masters in every field. Masters in the field of hadith. People who have been teaching hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 25, 30 years. People who are masters in the field of fiqh and fatwa, muftis who are practicing for the past 25, 30 years, People who are masters in qira'at and reciting Qur'an in the different dialects. People who have been practicing this for 25, 30 years. We have very, very well qualified ulama. Masters in every field, respected friends and analysts. Even in the contemporary fields of finance, the fields of halal and haram, etc. Here again we have people, and these ulama that we have in our country, respected friends and analysts, and the dini setup that we have, has actually become a role model for many countries of the world. Many countries. Take any part of our Islamic setup here, and our system. Whether it starts with the tertiary education, the maktab education that the children go for every afternoon, that has become now a role model for people who have adopted the same system from our country. The same syllabus that has been worked by ulama in our country is being used in many other countries throughout the world. Hundreds and if not thousands of madrasas throughout the world are using the same system, using the same syllabus that was prepared by your own ulama. Whether it comes to the hifz classes, then we have so many huffaz that have come from far. So many students that came from far and wide from other countries have become huffaz and went back to their countries. If it comes to the alim course, then we have so many respected friends and allahs that have come from far and wide and that have went back. When it comes to the halal haram, so many come here to be trained how to inspect halal haram and to go back and implement it in their countries. When it comes to sighting the moon, so many of our students from foreign stay over after they qualified, so they can go and attend these different courses and learn how to verify the moon sighting. They can go and learn how to work out the salat timing. They can go and learn how to work in the prison with the Muslim prison board. They can go and learn with the jamiats and the Darul Ihsans how to work with the people. They go and learn with the Alimdads and all the other NGOs how to serve humanity. In every department we have become leaders, respected friends and elders. And undoubtedly to a large extent, after the fadl of Allah, the special grace and mercy of Allah, the effort of these youngsters and their students and their parents and their ustads, it is your contribution, it is your support for the efforts of deen. But how sad that we support all of this, but when the time comes to benefit, respected friends and analysts, then because the hype is with somebody else, because some other person has got a better twang, and he speaks in a different tone, and because it's so captivating, and because the words are so eloquent, then we get taken away. I'm not saying that those who are speaking like that are on batil, but what I'm saying is, let us come back to basics. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to learn from person to person. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innamal ilmu bitta'allum, knowledge will come with tutorship. Meaning with sitting at the feet of somebody else and letting him tutor you and teach you. That's how true knowledge will come. وَالْفِقْهُ بِالتَّفَقُّهُ Understanding of deen also will come in the same method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His shariats down in the past as well. And our sharia, deenul Islam, was sent. Quran was sent. But Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also sent. Sahaba sat at his feet. Sahaba sat in the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They attended his gatherings. And then they took this, and then the tabi'un, their students benefited from them direct, person to person, one-on-one contact, respected friends and elders. Look at the effort of da'wat and tabligh, how it has spread far and wide, how it has become so successful. It is not just that some messages are sent out, it's not just social media, there is no advertising, etc. Rather, it is person to person. And that's how one ignites the other, and he ignites another, and he ignites another, and mashallah, we have so many people, maybe even sitting here in this congregation, whose lives were changed by that one mulaqat, by that one gush, by that one meeting by some jamaat, local or foreign, and Allah changed his life. That is where real change and lasting change comes. One is a person is feeling hot, respected friends and elders. It's a very hot day outside. He pours a whole bucket of water over him to cool himself down. He'll feel cool. But after a very short while, all of that will dry up, he'll be feeling hot again. And the other is for a person to be able to immerse himself into the tub of water, immerse himself into that pool, and he will remain cool for as long as he is there. That's the example, that person who will suffice with streaming, and that person who will suffice with YouTube clips, respected friends and analysts, that person who will suffice with listening over the receiver, it will definitely have an effect, and why not? The words of Allah and His Messenger, kalam of people who are on haqq will definitely have effect, but it will dry out very quickly. Unlike when you immerse yourself in the tub, meaning in the tub of the majlis of that alim himself, in that masjid, in the proper environment, the effect is completely different. If you are sitting at home, you have got so many other distractions. You may be lying down on your bed. You may be, for example, without your kurta. You may be without your topi, sitting in a manner that is not very respectful, although permissible. And you are listening to the talks of deen. How do you expect effect like that to come? But if you're sitting in the majlis of someone, like we are sitting now, then there's a particular demeanor, there's a particular way we have to conduct ourselves. And with that comes the real light of ilm and, ilm and knowledge of deen. And respected friends and elders, Islam will remain alive in the dunya. Islam will remain alive in any community as long as there are reliable ulama in that community, as long as there are reliable ulama in the dunya. As soon as there is no ilm, as soon as there is no knowledge of deen, then that will be replaced with jahalat, respected friends and elders. You know, I always wanted to sometimes share with our brothers that what does it take for someone to become an alim? Let us sit back and think and ponder that that youngster is sent. If he's sent, for example, for hifz, and he's sent to a boarding school, a madrasa where he has to board at the age of 10, 11, 12 maybe, then he has to make that hijrat. There are so many tears that are shed. There's so much of sacrifice on the part of that youngster, sacrifice on the part of his parents. And then he comes. Or if there's somebody that is coming for the alim cause, he comes and he dedicates 6 years of his life. In the boarding, he encounters different types of people. Yes, every madrasa will put certain checks in and control. But you can only do how much you can do. You get all types of students that come there. So he may suffer, somebody may steal something of his. Somebody may hash him and take away some special parcel that came from home. Sometimes the weather is not right. Sometimes the food wasn't right for him. Every madrasa does their utmost to try and facilitate comfort for the students. But it's not like home. And for 6 years he does this. For 6 years his parents bear separation from him. Some of them come from far and wide, go home once a year. Some of them who are local go home maybe twice and thrice a year. Some from foreign go home once in a couple of years. That separation from their parents. And then the sacrifice, they go to pay his fees. They go to support him and sustain him. In the madrasa, respected friends and elders, you have the ustad. The ustad also had to make a sacrifice. He also had to make hijrat. He maybe was living in the town, but because of the khidmat of deen, he had to leave his own environment. He had to leave his parents. His wife had to leave. And the family had to leave. And then they go to that area. And then they also have to make that sacrifice. And while he is there, the ustad also maybe has to undergo some test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he gets robbed. Maybe there's some kind of an accident. Maybe there's some other danger he had to suffer while he was there. All the sacrifice. And after 6 years, respected friends and elders, then this student comes out as a alim of deen. And not forgetting the contribution of the general Muslims who contribute towards the madrasas, who maybe adopt a student, or who maybe sponsor a student in some way or the other. All of this sacrifice is put. And then this alim comes out. He comes to his masjid. He gives bayans on Fridays. He teaches the children in the afternoons. Again, he is making sacrifice. He is making sacrifice upon sacrifice. And especially, respected friends and elders, it's no secret, and I'm not here to solicit on behalf of the ulama, but 90% of the ulama. Recently we were discussing, for whatever reason, 90% of the ulama's salaries is something which is very, very basic. And alhamdulillah, they are not dying of poverty. They will continue doing what they have to do, and that is to pass on deen, and that is to look after your needs. Maybe you also should do, and you are doing, alhamdulillah. So you do what you have to do. And Allah has inspired them to do what they have to do. So they are there also making a sacrifice. They are teaching your children. They are looking after the musalla. But when the imam says something, we say, no, but there's some person on Google said something else. But that other alim on some other speaker may not even be an alim. Some other internet sensation, some person who has now gained popularity and fame on the internet, he said something else. And we got more value now for somebody who's far away. Many a times we don't even realize what's the level of that person. We are just moving with the hype. We don't realize whether he's really a true scholar, whether he's a true alim of deen. Yet we have in front of us a gem like this that has been prepared after so much of sacrifice, after so much of hardship, after so much of dedication. He is here in front of you. So respected friends and elders, let us make this intention that we will benefit from our local ulama, reliable ulama, and we have a wealth of senior ulama, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them long lives. Allah give them good health and keep them with us for many, many years. But our front saf, alhamdulillah, of ilm is all full of seniors. I don't want to name, you are maybe more aware than myself of the senior ulama around us here. Just in the vicinity of 3-4 kilometer radius, how many senior ulama we have. We've got such a variety. In every masjid that you are, either you will have a senior, or you will at least have some junior who is working under the mashura, under the guidance of his senior. So on the front saf, we have many, many senior ulama. Then in the second saf, we have other ulama who have been prepared by them, their students, who are working under their guidance. And then we have further students, and further, alhamdulillah, there is so much for us to benefit from. Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahimahullah, coming back to the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the ulama to be like stars. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions that here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew this comparison. There are actually three functions of the stars, and there are also three functions of the ulama. One is like this hadith mentioned, the one function of the star is to provide direction when a person is traveling. Similarly, the ulama on earth to provide direction, and that is exactly what we have been speaking about. Secondly, the stars are a means of adornment, a means of beauty for the sky. Like that, the ulama on earth are a means of beauty. People envy this country, and people envy any other country where there is an abundance of ulama. Hasan Basri rahimahullah says that ilm in actual fact has got, in itself is very, very beautiful. Allah hasn't given it a form here in this dunya. But لو كانت للعلم سورة. He says if there was a form given to knowledge, لَكَانَتْ سُورَتُهُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْ ضَوْءِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ وَالنُّجُومِ وَالسَّمَاءِ. It would have been more beautiful. Ilm and knowledge would have been more beautiful, more magnificent than the sun, the moon, the stars and the sky put together. So ulama are a source of beauty as well. One riwayat mentions, those homes in which the words of Allah and His Messenger are recited, on earth, they shine up. Meaning those homes in which knowledge of deen is found, they shine up into the skies like the stars shine down to us. That is the adornment Allah gives, knowledge, and those homes where there is knowledge. And thirdly, the stars are, the third use, or the third function of the stars, is that they are used to pelt the shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the ulama also on earth, to pelt the shayateen on earth. In Quran Allah mentions, you have shayateen wal insi wal jinn. We understand shayateen, the devils in the form of jinnat. But you have shayateen in the form of insan also, respected friends and elders. In other words, people who are doing the work of shaitan, whether they know it or they don't know it, those who are aiding the cause of shaitan, those who are objecting on deen, those who are trying their utmost to affect and to bring deen into disrepute and to harm Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the ulama and uses them to shoot out. In other words, uses them to defend Islam and to repel the fitnas. And currently this dunya is full of so much of fitna. In our own country also, respected friends and elders, there are so many different isms, and there's so much different bid'aat, and there's so much different concocted ideologies, and people who are bringing in these ideologies. Alhamdulillah, in accordance to that, Allah inspires the ulama to defend the deenul haqq. Allah inspires the ulama to defend the way of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is also one function of the ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding the real value of ulama. And Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding this great ni'mah that Allah has blessed us with specifically in this country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that the next time we look at an alim, then we look at him with utmost respect, and we value and appreciate his sacrifice. And the sacrifice that is behind him, whether it be of his parents, whether it be of his ustads, whether it be of his sponsors, but appreciate his sacrifice. And Allah give us tawfiq to make to we ourselves become ulama. And if that is not possible, then at least make our children ulama. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one riwayah. And in some narrations it said that the Sahaba mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that kun aliman. If you can, then become a alim. This is the advice to every Muslim. If you can, become a knowledgeable person in your deen. Kun aliman aw muta'alliman. If you are not a scholar, then be one who is learning from the scholars of deen. Be one who is learning his deen. O muhibban, if not, then be one who at least has love for the ulama. O mustami'an, be one who would at least listen to the advices of ulama. And don't be the other type. Don't be anything else besides this. Either you are an alim yourself, or you are studying to become an alim. And you are studying from the ulama. Studying from the ulama doesn't mean you have to leave everything and then go and sit in a darul uloom. Those for whom Allah made it easy, they can go and do that. But even with your day-to-day work, you attend the majlis, you attend the bayans, you attend the programs, you go into the company of a alim, you seek guidance from him at every juncture in your life, then you are also a muta'allim. You are learning in your deen. And mustami'an, be one who will listen to them. Be one who will love them. Don't be the fifth one, meaning don't be outside one of these four. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.